Well, look at them all, look at them all, look at her flapper wings. Church, we've got classrooms for the children to go to because they're going to just teach Jesus, preach Jesus, share the stories of the Bible in a way that they're going to be able to get a hold of. And it's the best way for children to take it. Make no mistake, though, church, your role with these children is 7 days a week. We got them for a minute here, but it's you that's going to reinforce the lessons that they learn in these classrooms. It's you that is going to take time to read and teach and talk about what they learn here. What we want to do is be good stewards of this little bit of time we've got, so we've got the classrooms to help them. But it's on you. So, church, if you would, with us, would you pray for the classrooms, for these children? And let's all of us take our hats off, cowboys. And let's every single one of us bow our head and close our eyes so we can focus on Jesus while we pray for just 1 minute. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for who you are, for what you've done, and thank you that you can teach us, even the youngest of us, your truth. Thank you for this time, these classrooms, these children, and those teachers, and we ask for your blessing. On the precious name and the very authority of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, got to trot to the back. Got to go. Take that cinnamon roll with you or leave it here and I'll eat it. Or don't. I guess he don't. If you pour coffee right straight into your lungs, if I was just at home, I would do something horribly gross. But because of my training as a youth, I'm over that. I'm way better now. Thank you so much. So listen, man, we will celebrate. We will participate. We will together after church today, after I say amen, we are going to do the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist, the communion, whatever it is that you call it. What that is a time for us to commemorate the Lord's death. It's a very important, solemn time. But what I want to say to you is that, listen, if you've got stuff to do, if you don't feel comfortable doing that, if there's something else going on with you and you feel like I got to go. This is a personal thing that all of us do personally. And so if there's something else going on and you can't be here, do not feel any shame for leaving. There's going to be a minute afterwards when you'll have the opportunity to do that, and we won't all be giving you the stink eye. And that's just real. There's just no reason for anybody to stay here and take this other than a personal commitment to recognizing and celebrating and participating in the death and the burial and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, with that in mind, for whatever reason that might move you out, take advantage of that time to go. If you stay, we just trust that you will completely invest yourselves in this solemn moment. Having said all that, we got to get going. Having just come off of this Easter celebration that we had last Sunday, what a great time to celebrate families being together and all of the great stuff that went on in the Easter. And so many lives were changed, and so much revelation comes to men and women like about Jesus and about our faith and salvation and all of this. So much goes on during that week and that time, and then Sunday it culminates and it's such a great time. And then we're here. And then it's just us again. So what do we do with that? Right? What do we do with that? So many people have made commitments and decisions and have things going on in their head because of what revelation and what encouragement we had during that Easter season. And then here we are, like, back to the same old, same old. And the truth of that is what is important for us to remember is that this faith, this walk, this life of faith that you and I live is 24/7. It's a difficult thing for a lot of people, me included, to wonder how in the world I am a follower, I am a Christian, I am a man of God, I am a son of God, I am who God has called me to be 24/7, because many of those 24, and often of those 7, I'm just about me. I fail, I fall, and so what I want to know is, how do I live this life going forward from Easter, going forward from having realized what I lack? What do I do with me now? And so I want to talk about that this morning. I want to talk about how we do that. How do we still keep our job? How do we care for the people that we've been looking after? How do we build, teach, play, dance, work, raise, run, fish, ride, fall, fail, wreck, flounder, crash, hurt, lose, cry? How do we change? How do we heal? How do we help? How do we hold? How do we have? How do we obey? How do we hear God's voice? I had to write all that down. I had to write all that down because I can't tell you what I've been doing this week. So much scripture in my head as I think and talk about what it takes to live this life. And I know I preach about it all the time. And then I stand up here, a failure at it. But what does it take? See, I'm super comfortable saying, thank you, Jesus, and starting right here, right now. I hope you are too. But here's the thing that burdens me is that every day I'm doing this. So many of us, we're only doing it on Sunday. We're talking about, man, I'll tell you, that last week was rough on me. So many of us only do it on Christmas and Easter. The last 6 months have been hard on me. How do we live this life every day? Walk this walk. Be who God's called us to be every single day. 24/7. That means Monday through Monday. Every waking hour that we're awake, are we followers of Jesus? Because that's what we're called to be. We're not called to be Christian and show up in heaven one day. We're called to be born again believers and live our life like we believe everything in this book is true. And this book talks about how we live that life, how we learn about that, right? And so I want to tell you, it's easy. It's easy, not because I'm a simpleton, but I am. But it's what you do every day. Every single one of us, every single day, gets up and you get started. Think about all the things that you do every single morning to go make your day. You did it this morning again. Maybe some of it changed because of the way you dress, but listen, every morning I put my wallet in my pocket. Bam, it's got my driver's license. I need it, so I just stick it in I get up, get dressed, I stick my wallet in my pocket. I stick a knife in my other pocket. You know why? I may need it. Not to kill somebody, but what if I'm being attacked by a grizzly bear? Could happen. I need a knife in my pocket because I use it all the time. So I got to have it with me. I start my day like that. You know what else? I put my watch in my pocket. Remember the day when you used to have a watch? I still do. I put these things in my pocket because that's what it takes for me to make this day. Goes without I'm 62 years old. I've been doing it my whole life. Surprising, ain't it?
It is.
I figure I'm 100. I do all this stuff because that's how I start my day. That doesn't matter what I'm going to do. Doesn't matter if I'm coming to church. Doesn't matter if I'm going to the pasture. I get up, I get dressed, I put that stuff on, I put my boots on, I put my hat on. If it's cold, I put a jacket on. If it's cool, I put a jacket on. If I think it might be, I put a jacket on. Every single day, I start out just like that. And so do you. That's your life. But here's this thing. So now we're we are overwhelmed by the Spirit of God, born again believer. You have the very Spirit of God living inside of you. There's something else you wake up with. It's already there. He lives in us. That's the promise of the resurrection. Jesus in you. It's there. You don't have to go put it on. You just have to acknowledge that thing. So here's what I want to say. We go out and we live this life. And so we leave church. We think, well, we got to go fight the devil. Stop thinking that you got to go fighting the devil. He's defeated, number one. We know the end of the story. So he already has lost. But number two, you ain't got to go fight nobody. He shows up everywhere you are. And you're not called to fight with him. You and I are not called to go take the fight to Satan. You and I are called to withstand in the battle. Our calling is not to go out there and tell the devil he's a loser. To go out there and defeat the devil. To go out there and make some sort of military action. We want to fight. We want to yell and punch and scream and kick. That we would feel better if we had the thing to do. But the Bible tells us we're supposed to stand. The battle's happening to us. But I can't make my day if I don't have my parts. I need my wallet. I need my watch. I need my knife. I need my boots. I need my hat. I put them on without even thinking. Every day I almost do it the same way all the time. And that sort of ticks me off too. Sometimes I just do it backwards just because I can't. But I do it every single day. And so do you. Doesn't matter who you are. That's how we start our day. The thing that we miss, the thing that we struggle with is that we don't recognize that we want to make our Christian life, our Christian walk, about today. We want to make all of this Christianity about today. We're going to show up. I'm talking about me too. This is what we've been trained in. Let's make Sunday great for an hour, and then hopefully that'll last until next Sunday. I'm going to be better about cussing. I'm going to be better about all of the sinful things that I do. You want me to define sin? If it's not God's way, it's sin. If it's my way, probably sin. And so, how do I walk, talk, live, go, do? How can I live this life of faith? Which is called for all the young people and all the old people. We've had a few birthdays in here. There's some old people in here. I'm not looking or staring at anybody over on that side. Over on that side. So open your Bibles up to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. That's about two-thirds of the way through your Bible. And in the book of Ephesians, we come on to this great, and in this Bible, it's on page 898. So if you ain't got a Bible, poke your hand up, because we buy these by the truckload and we give them away. And it's so important that you read it, highlight it, mark it, underline it, keep it, make notes in it. Do that stuff with it because it's the Word of God. It's the living Word of God, and you have it in your hands. And these words are what makes a difference in your life, not my words. And not your friend's words or your spouse's words or anybody's words. It's these words that make a difference. You got to read them. You got to see them. You got to have them. So in Ephesians chapter 6, I just want to start by saying that Ephesians chapter 5, Paul spends a lot of time, the guy who wrote this, he spends a lot of time talking about how we're supposed to live. The reason he's writing this to the people in this little one-horse town of Ephesus is because they're struggling, like you and I struggle, to live this life, to be Christian, to be faithful, to be who God's called them to be. And he says stuff like, imitate God in everything you do, right? He says that. And so all dads want your sons to imitate you. You know, that's just a natural thing. But he's saying, in 6, don't be fooled by those who try to excuse sin. Catch up with that. You know, it's a real struggle. This is a reality of our life, of our walk, of faith. In 10, he says, he says, determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Big deal. So what you listen to on the radio, what you watch on TV, you hear what I'm saying? I struggle with that too. In 5 and 15, he said, be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. That's true words. We know the truth of that. And what Paul is saying over and over and over again is, come on. Recognize. We're talking about living. We're not talking about Sunday. We're talking about living. We're talking about every day. We're talking about all the time, 24/7. So he gets to 6. And in chapter 6, Paul really starts talking about how parents and how children and how bosses and how employees are supposed to be. Read it, hold on to it. I'm not saying. God's saying. God's word saying. But then there's this familiar part in Ephesians 6:10. And here's what Paul said, the final word. He said, hey, just before we go, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. In the Lord's power. Not in how much you know. Not in how much you can count on yourself. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. And he said, put on all of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. All the strategies of the devil. The things that old Slick is trying to do. See, he's a defeated foe. The devil's got no... He's not omnipresent, omnipotent. He can't do anything. He can't read your mind. You know what he knows? He knows you. He knows ever since childhood the things that flip your switch. He knows how to get you in the ditch. He knows how to keep that thing rolling around in your head. You and I have a power of God in us that we can avoid that kind of stuff if we choose to. Remember Flip Wilson? The devil made me do it. No, he didn't. The devil reminded me of it, and I listened to him. He didn't make me do anything. And here's what I want you to see in 6 and 12. He said, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. Oh, man, come on. Me and you get up every day and we go to our job, we go to our school, we go to our work, we go do the things we do, and then we're mad at the people, and cattle make me cuss, and people on the road, and cars, and bad drivers, and bad attitudes. And if we turn on the news, we see all the mayhem going on in the world, and we're mad at people we don't even know, have never even met, in places that we've never even heard of. That's me putting all that junk in my brain. You know where God has called you and me? Here. Here. To that community right there, Kaufman, Texas, to this county. You and I are supposed to make a difference here. But we'll spend a lot of time scrolling through social media, finding out what's going on everywhere else. And then that burdens us. There are men and women who are called to Zimbabwe. There are first responders who have to deal with stuff all over in a big location there. But you know what I'm called to do? Affect this community. Affect my family. Be a part of the place where I'm planted. And so are you. We've got to learn to live our lives like that. Here's the thing. I get up every day prepared to do what God's called me to do, which is to go out there and ride and work on horses and deal with my place and build and grow and teach and catch and do all of those things. And so I do. I put my wallet in my pocket and my knife and my watch and my hat and my boots. And it's a given that we all wear breeches and shirts, right? So I don't got to say that. But you know what? We're not fighting against the devil and or people. We're fighting against the devil. Spiritual stuff. So how many of us have any real spiritual going on every single day? How many of us open up the book? How many of us are in prayer? How many of us do anything about being prepared for that? I get up and I put my knife in my pocket so I could use it. My wallet with my money in it, which is usually a lot, and my driver's license. And I put my belt on to hold my britches up and my boots on and I do all that. I do it every day without even thinking. It's what I do. How many of us every single day are in prayer And not just once. How many of us have the Word of God opened in our hands every day, not just once? How many of us even think about that stuff until we're in a terrible mud hole, until it's really fell apart? You know, and then we think, oh, Lord, what are you doing to me? Let me help us recognize that if we want to fight and stand in spiritual battles, and you're going to, whether you want to or not, how important is it that you have something to stand with, to fight with? Get up every day prepared to go and do what we're called to do at our job, at our school, at wherever, in our family. And then we fight through it, but we take no time. We figure we'll get enough Sunday on us to make the week, and we'll come back Sunday and try to work through all that mess. Here's what Paul says in 13. Put on every piece of God's armor so you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. And then after the battle, you'll still be standing firm. I'll be able to resist the devil. I'll still be able to stand in firm. He's whipping. He's trying hard. You know what he's trying to do? He can't take my salvation. He can't take anything away from me, but he can ruin me. He wants me to shut up and go home and sit down. He wants me to stop telling my family. He wants me to not bring it into my workplace, not bring it into my school, not bring Jesus anywhere. He wants me to keep Jesus to me. He is not going to take my salvation, but he can ruin my witness. And he will ruin my witness. You know why? Because I'm weak. Because I can't stand. So rather than stand in the battle, what I do is I go home and I close my gate. And I show back up here on Sunday, and I hope I get enough on me that I'm strong enough to close the gate again by Tuesday or so. Because this is a 24/7 battle. And you ain't got to take no fight to the devil. He shows up every day, every minute, all the time. You know why? Because he knows me. And he knows you. That's all he's ever done, is pay attention to whatever trips my trigger. Whatever sin, whatever that is, whatever mayhem, whatever selfishness, he knows. And he can just dangle that fruit out there. And now I've got to make a decision. I'm probably good by Sunday afternoon. I'm probably still strong on Monday. Tuesday, I'm losing. Wednesday, I'm out. Thursday, I'm a wreck. Friday is sad. Saturday, I go get drunk because it's been tough. Sunday, I show back up and I try to get this back on me. Is that standing? Put on the armor, Paul said. Put the armor on it. And then after the battle, you'll still be standing to fight again. You know, when Jesus was tempted in the desert, he didn't punch nobody. He didn't kick nobody. You know what he said? But God said, three times. But God said, the Word said, what he knew was this is a spiritual battle. He was empowered by the very Word of God. You and I have that Word living in us. So let's get to it. Stand your ground, Paul says in 14, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. The belt of truth, the truth that you are saved. That God has you, that you have given the reins of this life over to the Savior of the world. That you're saved and you're not going to lose it. That's truth. And then everything in this book that teaches us about living and about truth is here. And so if it's in this book, why do we question it? Because it's inconvenient. Because I could sin a little bit and God's okay with that. And that's a lie. God made me. He knows the way my mind works. That's a lie. No, he didn't make you, and he knows how my mind works, but that does not give me an excuse to sin. This world today is way different than what Jesus was walking around in, but the same sins were going on then that are going on today, and the same rules apply. The same grace applies. The same love applies. Sin is still sin. And he says, we need to put on this truth. And this truth is not something that I say. It's something that we get out of this book. You and I have to read it. We got to know this truth. And then we got to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Friday, we had a great little note on righteousness. Believer, you and I have been given that righteousness. It's there. We don't possess it. We get talked out of it a lot. But you are righteous, not because you're good, but because Jesus is. And when we celebrate the Lord's Supper and we talk about the blood, we're talking about that blood. When God sees me, he sees that blood covering me. The righteousness of Jesus is imputed to me. That's a truth. That is beyond fail. That should shield me against any doubt. But not only do we got to have the belt and the breastplate of righteousness, we got to put on shoes of peace that comes from the good news so that we will be fully prepared. Meaning that we got something to do with this. So what Paul is saying is that this isn't just for you so you can show up in heaven on time. This is so that you can go out and share this righteousness, this truth with somebody else who needs hope, who needs some kind of hand, who needs something. Not because you say, oh, but Jesus, but you say, oh, but I love you because I care, because you matter. It doesn't matter how lost and how broken and how terrible you are. If God loves people, we should love people. I personally struggle with some people. We all do. But at the end of the day, I can't deny that people matter to me. Put on the shoes of peace. And in addition to all of that, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. That shield of faith. We get that like, oh yeah, back in the old days before they had guns, you could shoot right through a shield today, unless it's bulletproof glass, and they have them. But the shield is to keep stuff from getting to you. It's to keep stuff from getting to you. The shield keeps things that are going to cause you problems from getting to you. And what Paul is saying to you and me today is, how do we even stop that mayhem? What's the shield of faith? The shield of faith means that I got no business trying to talk somebody who is a Mormon into Christianity. Hold on there. Mormons need saving too. But if that guy ain't asked me about Jesus, what place do I have to go in there and listen to him tell me about how he believes? He's just going to jack up my faith. He's going to have arguments. He's going to debate. He's going to create a place where I'm going to struggle. Why would I do that? I'm going to hold up my shield of faith. Thus saith the Lord is good enough for me. As time goes on, we're going to understand. We'll grasp. We'll be better as time goes on. But my faith, that shield of faith, is going to keep me from getting in a place where I can't handle it. Thus saith the Lord is good enough for me. And salvation as your helmet. The reality, I ain't even got to think about that. I'm saved. I'm had. Not because I said a prayer. Not because I walked the aisle. Not because Granny prayed for me. Not because I was baptized. Not because of any other reason in the whole world. Then I gave my life to Jesus. In John 14, when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the Father except through me, that settles it. When Jesus called me, I answered. I'm not living this life great. I'm going to struggle with the same spiritual things you struggle with, the same realities that you and I struggle with. But the helmet of salvation, the reality that God's got me, that I am saved, I ain't going to lose it, I can't shake it off. Now, if I want to go test it, I should think about my salvation. If I want to test my salvation, then maybe I ought to question my salvation, my commitment. But Jesus changes people. Jesus changes people. It's not work. The helmet of salvation gives me faith to live this life, walk this walk, be who God's called me to be. And finally, he says, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The one thing that I can take to the fight. Jesus used it, but it is written. This is what God said. Man should not live by bread alone. Thou shalt not test the Lord your God. That's the sword of the Spirit. That's the Word of God. This is the thing that you and I have. And we don't repeat it to the devil. We just got to have it in us. You and I got to have it in us so that when the time comes, when we've got to stand, when we've got to fight, We don't go, I wonder if God's really true, if God's really got me, if I know anything at all. Or we can say, thus saith the Lord. That means you got to memorize some of this stuff, whether you like it or not. And it won't be tough, because you'll want to. Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. For you and I to live 24/7, all the time, everywhere, no matter what you are, where you are, or what you're doing, to be a faithful follower of Jesus, not perfectly. We can't do it in this broken world, but there's not a minute that we're okay with that. Not perfectly, but you have to have this armor. That means every day you and I have got to do something about picking up the Word, using the Word, seeing the Word, reading the Word, having the Word. And then that is what encourages us. We get together on a Sunday to strengthen each other. We'll stand together during an event to strengthen and engage and empower each other. But I ain't got to tell you nothing. The battle's real. And it goes on 24/7. And what Paul tells us in Ephesians is that the only way you and I fight is not to throw this book at the devil, not to wear a cross around our neck, not to do something, because old Slick, he knows this book too. He knows the end of it. You ever seen that commercial when that girl sneezed, blasted fire right through the picture she drew? Guess what old Slick does when you hold this up in front of him? He knows the Word. The idea is not that this is my shield. The idea that the words, the truth, the righteousness, the faith in here is in me is my shield. But you have got to personally be involved in you getting it. Not because of what I said or what your granny said or the Pope said or your friends say, but because you and I pick up this book and we read it and we stay in it. I'm going to pray. And what I hope is that we begin to understand how we're supposed to live, walk, and be faithful Christians in this broken world. It's so easy that the tiniest little compromise is giving ground to the devil. And compromise looks like so many things. This ain't so bad. Somebody else is called to that. Those people made their own mess. Compromise is giving ground to the devil. If we stand on what we know is true, and if we question how that works, how about you just do that thing and then see what God does with it? Obedience is the answer to almost everything in our lives. Church, we're different. Pray with me. Lord, we struggle so much as people to hold on to what we know is truth and righteousness and faith. Sometimes it seems foreign, sometimes distant and so unattainable. But we have it in spades living inside of us. We can because you have. We do because you already have. Lord, it is not our power, but your power that lives in us. So give us the courage to stand out in a broken world that is literally going to make fun of my faith, that is literally going to deny my trust, that is going to try to shoot holes into my life. Give me, give us, give your church universal the courage to be different. We thank you for all that you do and all that you are. For your finished work on the cross, for your son Jesus and his atoning death. And our prayer as we go back into this world is that we begin to put on the armor to live this life. It's in your son's name, on the authority of Jesus himself, that we pray. Amen. Amen. So listen, as the elders and the lay pastors come up here and we begin to prepare for the Lord's Supper. So many of us have so much going on, and our days are so full, and it's just a reality of our life. And so take advantage of this opportunity maybe to move on. Stay over here, Stacy, and we'll pray. But if you've got a place to go, you got something to do, and you need to move along, that is okay. For the rest of us, we'll take the Lord's Supper. Pray with me. Lord, this is a solemn time, and in a time that we as your body want to do as you've commanded us to do. Participate in the death of your Son. So, help us understand and grasp and come to a truth about the purpose and the intent of this solemn moment. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. If everybody would just take one, there's a little biscuit in there and a little shot of juice. But I want to, as we get prepared for this, talk about the reality and the truth that of all of the things that our Savior did in this world, of all of the things that He did, that He said, that were important to Him, there's only one thing that He wanted you and I to commemorate. And He didn't say, let's build some statues and let's make a monument or let's build a building or a church. He said He wants you and I to remember His Son's death. God wanted us to commemorate that in a special way. And it's not a token thing. It's not something that you just walk by and you notice. It's something that is a tangible thing. All three of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all share the same truth about that night before the cross when Jesus was in the upper room with the boys. And they took the Lord's Supper and they did all of that stuff. All of that is the reality of Jesus saying, this one thing I want you to do. Every time you eat of this bread or drink this cup, remember me. And the purpose of that is to celebrate the atoning death and the sacrifice of Jesus. It's a solemn time, but it's a celebratory time. It's hard for us to look at Good Friday and think happy thoughts. It's easy for us to look at the empty tomb and think to ourselves, oh my gosh, for me? In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 11 and 23. He said, for I pass on to you what I received from the Lord Himself. Paul wasn't there when in the upper room with the boys. Paul wasn't a part of that whole thing. And Paul says, but I want to pass on to you people in Corinth, to you people in Kaufman, to you people everywhere, what the Lord passed on to me. He got this revelation directly from Jesus, just like the 11 apostles did. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and he gave thanks to God for it. He held that loaf of bread up and Judas was a part of that. And he broke it. And he broke it into pieces and he said, this is my body which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took up the cup of wine after supper and he said, this cup is the cup of the new covenant between God and His people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this as often as you drink it. And he said, for every single time that you eat this bread, drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until He comes again. That's what we're doing today. And it's a solemn time. It's a moment where this is a personal time of reflection for us. So Paul reminds us that anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. And that's why you ought to examine yourselves before eating the bread and drinking the cup. For if you eat the bread and drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you're eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. Let me make this perfectly clear. This is a personal thing that you and I do. Where you are. And by when Paul says that that we have a moment to examine ourselves in 31, he means that we have a time to say, Lord, what a wretch I am. In spite of me, you love me. In spite of me, you gave. In spite of all that's gone on, you are still God. And so it's a time for you and I to look back and to make right confession to God. Not necessarily to somebody, but if you've got some terrible something against somebody, you do need to make that right. If you tell God you're going to do that, then you got to do that. There's this place right now where we're doing this, and this is the most reverent, solemn moment of your life. Because anything less is cursing Jesus again. So he said, examine ourselves, and we won't be judged by God in this way. Yet when we are judged by the Lord, we're being disciplined so that we will not be condemned along with the world. So brothers, when you gather for this supper, this solemn occasion, this moment in time, be right. Let me tell you something else. If you can't do this right now, and you're sitting in this room, and you just don't think you're worthy, you just don't think you can get there, don't. When you get up, throw this thing away just like everybody else. Doesn't mean you're lost. Doesn't mean you're terrible. It means you've got work to do. And I've been there. But for the rest of us, oops, there's a little biscuit on the bottom. And the Lord took the loaf, and he broke it, and he gave thanks to God. Lord, thank you for all that you've done and all that you are. And he said, this is my body broken for you. And we know what the cross did. And he said, eat this and remember me. And in the same way, he took the cup. And he said, this is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, the blood that makes us righteous, the blood that saved us, the blood that God sees when he sees me, sees you. He said, do this in remembrance of me. And church, as we leave out of here this evening, the Bible and the Gospels remind us that everybody got up and left and sang a song as they left. So stand.